Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, having studied rather thoroughly the leadership of the Apostle Paul, particularly as it relates to his apostleship, we have come, secondly, to a study of the man Timothy, the two names that are found in the opening verse of Paul's epistle to the Colossians, where he writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. On the broadcast yesterday and the day before, we answered two questions about Timothy. Number one, who was Timothy? That is, in regard to his background and personal characteristics. And number two, what was Timothy's relationship to Paul? And we saw that he was, first of all, a disciple, secondly, an assistant, and finally, a partner with Paul in the ministry of the gospel. But today we want to address a third question, which is, what was Timothy's relationship to Colossae? And finally, what was Timothy's relationship to the church? And I'm talking now about the wider church, not the specific local church in the city of Colossae. So I trust that you'll join me on this Friday, September 4. And I thank God for those of you who will help us financially maintain the teaching of God's Word on this and other stations. Well, again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. What was Paul's relationship to Colossae? Why does Paul mention him in the opening of this Colossian epistle? In the first place, we can say that Timothy must have been known to the believers in Colossae. He was certainly known by name and reputation. He needed no introduction, no explanation. Paul can mention his name knowing that they will recognize him immediately. Paul didn't have to explain who he was when he just introduced himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had every confidence that they knew who he was. But it's evident that they also knew who Timothy was. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Timothy is joining Paul in writing to the church, and he is evidently known to the church. And he must have been significant in his relationship to the church in some way to be included in the salutation as a co-author of this epistle. And that is exactly the indication of the language of verses 1 and 2. In fact, Paul continues to maintain the plural first-person pronoun we all the way through verse 9. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace and peace to God our Father, etc. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father. And so forth. I will not go through all of these, but he uses that personal pronoun. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So he has included Timothy by name, and he continues to make reference to Timothy into the body of the epistle, which implies a known level of involvement in Paul's ministry. We know by studying other passages that Timothy's involvement with Paul's ministry was significant. But the question is, did the church at Colossae know that? And the answer is, evidently they did. Evidently they knew Timothy, and they knew of his relationship with the Apostle Paul. And in all likelihood, and this is only speculation, but in all likelihood, Timothy was involved in Paul's school in Ephesus, described in Acts chapter 19, and Timothy probably helped instruct those who brought the gospel to Colossae. As you recall, Paul himself had never been to Colossae. He was not the church planter for the Colossian church. He was not the evangelist who first brought the gospel to the city of Colossae. He'd never been there. But, and we'll see more about this as we move into the epistle, Paul was significantly involved in training Christians in the city of Ephesus, and we're specifically told there that the result of his intense teaching ministry was the spread of the gospel throughout Asia, and that would include the territory in the Lycus Valley, where Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis, three sister cities, were found, and where gospel work went on in all three of those cities. And there's no question, I think, that Paul trained the gospel workers that took the gospel to Colossae, and what I'm suggesting is that Timothy was probably involved in that as well. When Paul taught in the school in Ephesus, in the school house, the school facilities that belonged to Tyrannus, a school building that was made available to Paul, Paul no doubt used others that were capable of helping him in that training ministry. It was, in fact, a school, like a Bible college or a seminary, and he was the main teacher, but there were other teachers, and I strongly suspect that Timothy was one of them. That's what I'm suggesting to you. That Timothy probably helped to instruct those who brought the gospel to Colossae, which would explain why he was known to them. All Paul has to do is mention his name, and they know who he is. The leaders of the church knew him personally. They'd met him in Ephesus, and other members of the church knew him by name and reputation because of those who had been taught by him. And later, you know, Timothy took charge of the church at Ephesus. Check it out in 1 Timothy 1:3, doing so having been set there by the Apostle Paul. And the church at Ephesus was the mother church to the church at Colossae. So there are these intertwining relationships that we begin to see. We might not know that just reading this opening verse, but as we explore this further, see what else the Bible says in regard to Timothy and Colossae and Ephesus and all of these relationships, we begin to get the picture that Timothy was very much involved in the church at Colossae, whether he had ever been there or not. And of course, it's possible that he had. Paul had not. He says so specifically. Timothy, nothing is said about that one way or the other. It's possible that he did travel to Colossae, but certainly not necessary that he did, and there's no certainty about it at all, because it just is not said at all. It's a matter of silence. But that brings me, therefore, to question number four. What was Timothy's relationship to the church? And I'm talking about, maybe I should say, churches. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in its broadest expression. Well, first of all, what he was not. He was not an apostle. Paul was an apostle, but Timothy was not. It's not Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy another apostle. No, Timothy, our brother. He's not called an apostle here. He's not called an apostle anywhere. And again, because of the relationship between Paul and Timothy, if anybody would have been the recipient of apostolic ordination by the Apostle Paul, passing on his apostolic office to another, it would have been Timothy. But Paul doesn't do that. because Paul can't do that, because nobody can do that. Another evidence that the office of apostle was designed by Christ to end with the death of the original apostles. There are no apostles beyond that. When Paul died, he did not pass on his apostleship to anybody else. When John died, the last apostle to die, there were no apostles left. Timothy was not an apostle. He was not a junior apostle, an apostle in training, a future apostle, or anything like that. He was not an apostle. Well, what was he? He was an evangelist. That's what he was. Ephesians 4:11 says Christ gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. The office of evangelist is mentioned there in Ephesians 4:11. The third office of leadership out of the four that are mentioned in that verse, the four offices given to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ. The first two offices were temporary by the design of God and in the foundation stage of the church, but the last two were abiding offices and are present today. So of the four, Christ gave to his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. The first two, apostle and prophets, which were in the foundation stage of the church, check it out in Ephesians 2:20, passed off the scene with the completion of the foundation. But as the building continues to go up, two offices were still very much active and are today, and that is the office of evangelist and the office of a pastor, called in Ephesians 4:11, pastor-teacher. Just a little reminder of what the primary role of the pastor is. He is the primary teacher of God's Word in the church, not the only one. He's not the exclusive teacher of God's Word in the church. There are others who are gifted teachers and can wonderfully exercise their teaching gifts as well, but the pastor is, or pastors in a church with plural pastors, but the pastor is the chief teacher of God's Word. That's his primary function, his primary role. The Bible makes that clear. And the very name that is applied to him in Ephesians 4:11 makes that clear. He is not just the pastor or the preacher or the bishop, as he's called elsewhere, or elder, as he's called elsewhere, but he is the pastor. That word relates to the idea of shepherd. He is the pastor / teacher. He shepherds the flock. He teaches the flock. He actually shepherds the flock primarily by teaching the flock, though that's not the totality of what he does. In shepherding, he comforts, he encourages, he defends. He not only feeds the sheep, but he chases off the wolves. He has a lot of tasks in relationship to the church, but as the shepherd or under-shepherd of a flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, his primary duty and his primary tool for carrying out his work is teaching the Word of God. He is the pastor-teacher. Which then brings up the question, what is an evangelist? Because Timothy was an evangelist, not a pastor-teacher, and we'll have to hold that question until Monday. So please join me at that time. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible Teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.